Chapter 12. Abbé de Fontaine, French Pyrenees, 11:30 p.m. The seneschal awoke and glanced over at his sick master. The familiar sound of labored breath was gone. The master was dead. The battle was over. But another conflict would soon begin. For the 67th time since inception, another man would be chosen master. The seneschal feared that the next tenure would be particularly decisive. A civil war was brewing, one the master lying before him had kept in check. He decided not to alert the Brotherhood until prayers at prime, which would be in 5 hours. He reached down and parted the azure robe, exposing the old man's lifeless chest. The chain and silver key were there, precisely where they should be. He slipped the chain over his head.
"Forgive me,"
he whispered. He hustled across the room to an armoire. Inside lay a bronze box. Only the seneschal knew of its existence. He inserted the key. He was searching for a leather-bound volume that the master had possessed for several years, but when he hinged open the lid, he saw no book. His fear was now a reality. Where before he'd only suspected, now he knew. He locked the strongbox, left the bedchamber, and headed for the library. The door was swung open, as always. He entered. No one was around. He navigated his way through the shelves and stopped at a black metal door. He raked a plastic card across the scanner affixed to the wall. Only the master, marshal, archivist, and himself possessed the cards. Stored inside were a variety of precious books, including the Chronicles, a narrative history of the Order's entire existence. He entered, navigated the shelving, and found the codex lying in its designated spot. The tiny volume measured 8 inches square and 1 inch thick. The information it contained was priceless. He'd never told anyone what he'd found within its covers, not even the master. He slipped the codex into the fold of his cassock. He walked an aisle over and found another thin volume from the latter part of the 19th century. Not a book written for an audience, but instead a personal record. He slipped it into his cassock. He then left the library, knowing that the computer that controlled the security door had recorded the time of his visit. Magnetic strips affixed in each of the two volumes would identify that both had been removed. Since removing the tags could well damage the books, little choice existed. He could only hope that in the confusing days ahead, no one would examine the computer log. Rule was clear. Theft of order property was punishable by banishment. But that was a chance he would have to take.